Case #259. Breast cancer. In her book, Aliens Across America, Megan Moxo tells the story of Michelle, an active housewife and parent of three PRE teenage boys. In the summer of 2010, Michelle developed a soreness in her right breast. When it continued for a full month, she went to the doctor for a checkup. She was referred to a specialist who ordered testing. The results were not good. Michelle had a cancerous lump in her right breast. She told her husband and they lay together in bed praying and crying. Michelle was amazed at what happened next. When I finally fell asleep, I remember being surrounded by a very bright light and three small alien-looking creatures. The room seemed fog-like. Their heads were huge compared to their bodies. Upon awakening, Michelle felt like it had been a very real experience, and not a dream. She went to see the specialist the next day. When she went to do another screening of my breast that day, she saw that the tumor was no longer there, says Michelle. I couldn't believe my ears. Had I really been abducted by aliens and cured? The doctor said that they do sometimes run across spontaneous healings or that the body heals itself. Says Michelle, I believe God sent these extraterrestrials to save me. I know it sounds crazy, but in so many ways I feel like I got a second chance at life. It reminded me that each day was a gift, and to this day, I continue to live my days to the fullest. 36. As we have seen, many of the cancer cases are very well documented. The following case provides further compelling evidence that ETs are curing people of cancer. The witness, Lauren Kuth, is a strong proponent that ET encounters can be benevolent. Case #279. Meloma. Lauren Kuth of New Zealand has documented her own experience with a miraculous healing of meloma. In 2014, she was diagnosed with the disease, but declined conventional medical treatment. Instead, she used herbs and other natural healing methods. Slowly her meloma decreased, but after 5 months, the wound on her back still had not healed. Then she read an article about cases in which people had been healed of various illness and diseases as a result of UFO contact. She recalled her own experience, and wondered if she might appeal to the aliens to heal her. She and her son both prayed for a healing encounter. That evening, it happened. Says Lauren, I got this amazing energy come over my body. I knew I was going to have a contact experience. I went straight to sleep and I went straight into a UFO. It was a beautiful mother of pearl room. It was all round. I was on a table that didn't really have legs, it just came out of the wall. I had this beautiful pink light come over me. I did feel something on my back, and then I had no memory. The next morning, Lauren's body was zinging with energy. Even her family members could feel it. She felt certain that she had gotten the requested healing, and it turned out she was right. Her healing suddenly accelerated. My back healed in 2.5 weeks more than it had in 5.5 months. All my blood results went back to normal. My brain function all went back to normal, which I consider a miracle healing. Currently, Lauren works doing alternative healings using sounds and tones, speaks publicly about her experiences, and holds public sky watches and UFO stakeouts. More often than not, says Lauren, they will have some sort of sighting. She says that on a few occasions, people have reported physical healings. 37. This next incredible case might be unique in that it could be the only case in which a person has actually filmed their own UFO healing as it was taking place. The case is among the best verified, providing further proof in the form of before and after reports from doctors, not to mention many other forms of evidence. The full account appears in the book, Beyond UFOs. Case #281. Cancer. Born in 1964 in Winnipeg, Canada, Jim Skeefer's first UFO sighting occurred when he was 3 years old. As he grew up, he had a steady stream of unexplained experiences. He suffered severe nosebleeds and nightmares about monsters visiting his room. He began seeing UFOs. Twice while a teenager, he woke up to find his eyes burned as though he had looked at an arc welder. His strange experiences continued through adulthood, and included many sightings of strange orbs around his home. In 2012, at age 48, the experiences increased, and he began to wake up with strange marks on his body, including unexplained bruises, scars, scoop marks, painful incisions and puncture wounds. In 2014, Skeefer woke up to severe foot pain. He went to the doctor who said that his foot was fractured. In January 2015, Skeefer began to suffer from a sore throat. His glands started to swell up, and blood tests showed that his white blood cell count had skyrocketed. More tests were performed. The news was very bad. I found out that I had a tumor in my lymph nodes in my neck. They sent me to cancer care in Manitoba. They did a biopsy on it. The tumor was malignant and pressure from the growth was causing pain and necrosis. Surgery was scheduled for March 13, 2015. 2 weeks later, the tumor had increased significantly in size and was now projecting out the side of Skeefer's neck. On February 28, 2015, 2 weeks before the scheduled surgery, Skeefer lay down in bed. He grabbed his cell phone and turned on the video to see if he could record any orbs. "I just pushed record on my camera," says Skeefer, "and as soon as I did, I saw this bright orb drop down as it hit the floor. It turned blue and started coming toward me. It turned down on itself and then it dove into my stomach." Skeefer was shocked by the event and felt like the orb had appeared purposefully so he could film it. He put his phone down and eventually fell asleep. The next morning, he looked in the mirror and received a huge shock. The tumor was gone. "I look in the mirror," says Skeefer, "and my tumor that was wrapped around the base of my neck and protruding from my neck and bone hard was completely gone. There was nothing there. The whole thing was dissolved and gone. It was absolutely shocking." 2 weeks later, Skeefer showed up for his surgery. His doctors were baffled. Says Skeefer, "My doctors at Cancer Care Manitoba said it was extraordinary. They couldn't believe this had happened. The surgeons went ahead with the surgery to remove necrotic tissue. No sign of cancer was found." Skeefer has no idea why he was healed, but he's certain it was done by the ETs. "There's no doubt about it for me." Unfortunately, in 2017 he was diagnosed with prostate cancer. As of yet, the ETs have not healed him of this condition. His encounters continue. 38 As much as a skeptic might like to deny the veracity of a UFO healing case, there is always another to take its place. The sheer number of accounts can be overwhelming. This next account comes from a second-hand source, but reveals some interesting details and shows again that UFO healings are not as rare as one might think. Case #307. Cancer. Carol X has been a lifelong experiencer, but has never had any healings performed by the ETs. Of these types of cases, she writes, I know of many who claim similar experiences. In all cases, they were healed of their infirmities after being returned from the alien ships. The only direct participatory experience I know of is that of my neighbor. He was diagnosed with a cancerous growth in his intestines, inoperable because of significant entanglement with blood vessels. According to Carol, her neighbor witnessed a UFO from his backyard. During the sighting, he felt tingling and warmth, and felt as though the UFO occupants were communing with him. I do not know if he was taken up, says Carol, but I do know he was healed. The growth that was cancerous became benign, and he is utterly convinced that the aliens affected this healing. I told the story here, on an online UFO forum, some time back, and some poo-pooed it, while others suggested the growth had been misdiagnosed originally. Everyone is of course entitled to their own opinion, but I am certain he was healed, and I am convinced that he's not the only one. Interestingly, the neighbor calls the ETs angels. 39 In this next case, we see a pattern that is apparent in several of the healing cases. Often a healing takes place immediately prior to the scheduled surgery. This wait to the last minute pattern turns up in enough cases to raise the question, why do the aliens procrastinate some healings until the last possible moment? Case #308. Cancer. Contactee Gary of Texas, a soldier in the military, says that he was diagnosed with cancer and was actually on his way into surgery when the visitors showed up and cured him. They told him that cancer was parasitic in nature. His full story was revealed in an interview with Ann Strieber on the radio show, Unknown Country. 40 The above cases complete the catalogue of known cancer cures at the hands of ETs. With more than 40 cases, there's little doubt that these cases are real. There are simply too many of them, occurring for too many years, coming from a wide variety of people from all over the world. Any explanations involving hoaxes, hallucinations, or misperceptions are simply not tenable. The evidence speaks for itself. While the above cases provide considerable evidence that aliens have the ability to cure cancer, there is further evidence. Many people have been told by the ETs how to cure cancer. Gary X, above, was told that cancer was parasitic in nature. Ventura Maceiras, who grew new teeth, following an encounter, was told that cancer was actually a virus. There are many other people who were not healed by the ETs, but were instead given information on the causes of cancer and its treatment. An alien cure for cancer. This happened to Kathleen Campardo of Pennsylvania in 1950. She was lying on her bed when two transparent figures appeared at her bedside. The figures were about 3 feet tall and told Kathleen that they were friendly aliens who wanted to help Earthlings, but were afraid of their warlike ways. They said that they were far advanced in the fields of science and could cure cancer with a simple machine. Unfortunately, they did not elaborate. 41 Some ETs have been more forthcoming. Contactee Cynthia Aplito of West Midlands, England, who witnessed an ET heal himself of burns, was given much knowledge of a technical nature by her contacts. They also gave her a report on the nature of cancer and told her that one effective method of treatment involved shocks to the body organ most in use at the time, creating a sort of frequency change in the vibrational rate of the particles inside the atom. 42 In August of 1956, Orlando Jorge Ferrodi of Buenos Aires was fishing along the coast when he experienced a visitation by human-looking ETs who took him aboard their ship and into an underwater base. Ferrodi's contact was complex and involved several discussions with the ETs about various subjects including religion, death, nuclear energy, science and medicine. The ETs told Ferrodi that he would lose his memory of the event, but that it would return to him later. They then returned him to the location where he had been picked up. As predicted, Ferrodi forgot the encounter and assumed he had fallen asleep. 2 weeks later, he spontaneously recalled the entire event, including information from the ETs on the causes of cancer, and also how to construct a machine that will cure the disease. Ferrodi prepared a manuscript which he titled, Cancer, Its Origin and Development. Writes Ferrodi, the origin of this disease lies in the altered function of the ductless glands, which due to their bioelectrical balance having been upset, drain into the blood. Incomplete humors that lead to the irrational forming of the cells. This phenomenon leads to the immediate consequence of these humors circulating throughout the whole body, since blood is a vehicle, thus incomplete humors look for the weakest organs where they can exert their influence within a favorable field. Investigators of the case were impressed by Ferrodi's medical knowledge, as is researcher Timothy Good, who writes, in July 1975, years after Orlando Ferrodi outlined his theory, Nobel Prize winner, 1937, Drive. Albert Z. Jayagi came out with his electromagnetic theory of cancer, which was expressed in a very similar way to that of Ferrodi despite the fact that the abductee had only the most rudimentary knowledge of medicine. 43 Another case involving alien advice on how to cure cancer comes from a well-known California abduction case originally investigated by Ann Druffel and D. Scott Rogo. In the mid-1950s, Sarah Shaw experienced several abductions from her home in Tujuga Canyon, California. After the encounters, she developed an obsessive interest in medicine and began going to medical school. Years after the abductions, she underwent hypnosis to recover her lost memories. She recalled that during one of the encounters in 1953, she was given directions on how to cure cancer. The grey type ETs told her that cancer was basically a problem of rotting. She was told that the cure was not for herself, but that in the future, she would meet a certain doctor whom she would recognize. She was instructed to give the cure to this doctor. The aliens told Sarah that cancer could be cured by swabbing vinegar directly on cancerous growths. A few years later, Sarah was very surprised and excited to recognize the doctor to whom she was supposed to give the cure. Coincidentally, her friend and fellow abductee, Jan Whitley, was suffering from breast cancer at the time, and it was her doctor whom Sarah recognized as the right man. She was even more surprised when the doctor showed interest in her story and promised to try the cure on some of his patients who were looking for alternative methods of healing. According to the doctor who performed the UFO-prescribed cure, he said that he had repeatedly applied vinegar to some skin cancers by using a swabbing technique and had indeed procured some success with this method. The doctor did indicate, however, that his patients were also undergoing numerous other treatments to cure the cancer, and that the improvement may have been attributed to another treatment. Nevertheless, the results were intriguing. Further study by the investigators of this case revealed that according to folklore, vinegar is believed to be a cure for many other ailments. Also curious is that some cancerous tumors may actually secrete acetic acid, the scientific name for vinegar. The doctor originally told Sarah that acetic acid couldn't possibly cure cancer as vinegar is already found around cancerous tissues, and that the cancers may actually secrete the substance. Sarah pointed out that the presence of vinegar around tummus could just as well mean that the body was producing the vinegar in an attempt to fight the cancer. In an interview, the doctor also admitted that he had another patient who had the same revelation as Sarah. This man also told the doctor that aliens had told him that vinegar is an effective cure against cancer. The doctor knew that cancers thrive in an alkaline medium, and since vinegar was acidic, it also seemed worth trying. Thankfully, there has been some research in this area. The investigators of the case brought it to the attention of a physician who specializes in cancer immunology. He told them that vinegar alone has failed to cure cancer. However, he says that a chemical closely related to acetic acid, but much more potent, is currently being used with significant results. 44. Then there's the case of abductee, Brett Oldham. During one of his abductions, a tall grey said, "On your planet you have a disease of cancer. Would you like to know the cure to this disease?" "Of course, I would," Oldham replied. Suddenly a screen appeared beside the grey, showing a long, mathematical equation. "What is this?" Oldham asked. "This is the formula for the cure to cancer," the grey replied. "You may take this back with you when you leave." Oldham asked for something to write the formula down. "No," the grey replied. "You must remember it." Oldham became agitated and then angry as the grey told him that it was time for him to go. Two small greys appeared and escorted him from the room. Needless to say, Oldham was unable to reproduce the equation, and if the ETs had a cure for cancer, it remains with them. Oldham does report that he had what appeared to be a cancerous mole which disappeared, presumably because the ETs removed it. 45. The cancer healing cases are the most numerous of any specific disease. Most of the accounts provide a wealth of detail. Most come with before and after diagnoses from doctors. And while the ETs have not provided a cancer cure that can be used by everyone, they have shown that even advanced cases can be cured. Part 4. Beyond UFO healings, with 309 cases in which people have been cured as the result of a UFO encounter, we can safely conclude that such cases do happen, that they are widespread, and will continue to occur. However, the healing power of UFOs is not limited to specific healing events. UFOs are having a positive influence in many other ways. In part 4 of this book, we explore cases in which people have received health upgrades. In these cases, people are not healed of a specific illness, but instead feel that they have become smarter, stronger, and healthier as a result of their encounters. UFO healings are not limited to humans. We shall also examine cases in which animals received healings, and even plants. Beyond the healing cases is another extraordinary phenomenon, the connection between UFOs and psychic healing. Proving that healing is a primary ET agenda is the fact that many people are transformed by their encounters and become themselves healers. As we shall see, ETs not only heal people, they teach people to heal themselves. We shall explore many miraculous healings from other sources than UFOs. Native American healings, cures from religious figures and shrines, lightning cures, healings from near-death experiences, astral travel, past life therapy, and more healings, we shall see, come from many sources. Finally, we shall examine and analyze all the evidence. We will try to make sense of all these myriad healing cases, draw what conclusions we can, and see what this means for the future of humanity. Chapter 24, Health Upgrades. One category of UFO healing that is often overlooked involves a general upgrading of the health of the witness. In case after case, experiencers report unusually rapid healing of injuries and illnesses. In these cases, the gifts of good health were somehow enhanced as a result of an encounter. The witnesses aren't necessarily cured of a specific illness or condition during an encounter. Because of this, these cases are not included in the list of total accounts. The healing itself comes afterward due to physiological changes the witness sustained at the time of the original encounter. The witnesses often claim that their encounter made them healthier than they were before. Not only healthier, some claim, but faster, smarter, stronger and more. Some, including the following, were told that ETs are working on increasing human longevity. Health Upgrades author and college professor Drive Darrell D. Daviso believes that aliens may be maintaining our health without our knowledge. In his book, Holographic Worlds, Daviso recounts a series of telepathic conversations with an apparent extraterrestrial. Channeled through his keyboard, Daviso makes no claims as to the authenticity of his material and is more interested in the message coming from the alleged ET, who he calls X. The material covers many aspects of human civilization, and at one point, broaches the subject of health. X told Daviso that they have abducted millions of people without their knowledge, including Daviso, in order to make genetic upgrades. Says X, "We changed your DNA so you would live longer." 1. Bicyclist upgraded upgrades in health to people who are otherwise healthy is a recurring theme. In 2009, a group of five Mexican bicycle racers had an experience with a UFO that left one of their team members, Rodrigo, profoundly changed. It was late at night when the five men, all from the same village, were about 2 miles from home, bicycling against rain and high winds. Up ahead of them on the road, they came upon bright lights. They first thought that there had been a highway accident, but as they got closer, they realized the lights were much too bright. Rodrigo told his teammates to stay back while he investigated. Rodrigo's friends watched him disappear into the light. 30 minutes later, Rodrigo still hadn't returned. Together, his friends went to investigate. They approached the light and saw that it was some sort of a craft. They called out to Rodrigo and tossed a stone at the craft. After a few moments, the light dimmed and a door opened in the craft. Says Pablo, one of the bicyclists, a stairway descended. That's when we saw them. There were 11 of them, 11 humans. They all came out of the UFO. Rodrigo was the second to appear. I ran toward him and pulled him out of the light. But the others just stood there with nowhere to go. The UFO suddenly moved upward. Within seconds, it was gone. All around us was darkness. The four remaining bicyclists started a campfire and herded the confused people from the UFO off the highway. None of the 11 abductees knew each other. Says Rodrigo, one man was from Mexico City, there were three from Merida, one from Valladolid, two from Veracruz, and I can't remember the others. But they were from all around Mexico. None of the 11 people, including Rodrigo, remembered anything about what happened. To this day, Rodrigo doesn't even remember seeing the UFO. But Rodrigo did report one dramatic change. I don't know what they did to me, he says, but after that, I was the fastest bicyclist in Mexico. Maybe they did something to make me faster. RD6 Killer Clark, who interviewed the witnesses, writes, I often think of Rodrigo's belief that the UFO had given him supernatural powers and made him a more powerful rider. Though it was hard for me to wrap my mind around such an incident, I suppose stranger things have happened. 2. Longevity increased. On May the 9th, 1974, seven people were driving home along Highway 57 near Mount Vernon, Idaho, when they encountered a large object hovering at a very low altitude. Suddenly the object approached their vehicle, hovered right over it and sent down a blast of heat. All the witnesses except one passed out. The remaining witness felt himself drawn upward and found himself being examined by 5-foot-tall beings with light skin, huge almond-shaped eyes, and a small lower jaw. They called the witness by his name, and exhibited great strength as they handled him. Following the abduction, the man believes that his aging process was slowed down as a result of the encounter. 3. A healing experience. UFO forums on the World Wide Web provide a platform for experiencers to share their own encounters and learn about others. In one of these forums, Gramer reached out to share his own encounters. All my life I have believed that UFOs exist and have had 2 and possibly many more encounters, he writes. My last one happened about a month ago while I was in bed. I saw myself and others being healed by UFO beings. At first I was scared, but later on I realized that it was a healing experience. This realization came following the encounter when the witness discovered several physiological improvements. My eyesight is better, he writes. My shoulders are stronger and healthier. My knees were swollen bad and the tendons and muscles in the knee area were tight and stiff. My knees are slowly becoming better, and I believe they will be stronger than they were before. I have also noticed a big increase in my psychic abilities. For health maintenance, while researcher John Mack MD has uncovered several cases of UFO healings, he has also uncovered instances in which people weren't healed, but were given treatments to maintain their good health. One woman he interviewed, Isabel, is a good example. Writes Mack, experiencers often report that the examination-like procedures they have undergone represent some sort of health monitoring and maintenance program on the part of the aliens. Isabel has the impression that the beings really need to take her physical body to maintain her health as a breeder, for tune-ups. As part of this process, they give her a bitter liquid to drink and put in her what she calls a vaccine. The drink, she believes, is just like medicine or a super vitamin. Isabel speculates that the aliens need to keep her healthy so that the hybrid babies she carries and nurses for them will also be healthy. Regarding this type of health maintenance, Mack writes, whether this is for our benefit, or to keep our organs healthy so that the beings might use them for their own purposes later, as some experiencers have suggested, is one of the questions that seems to depend, in part, upon how we choose to interpret the phenomenon. Isabel attributes her excellent health and apparent immunity to colds and other illnesses to the alien health monitoring program. As a loving parent would talk to a child, the beings warn her about smoking and other dangers to her health. They even instruct her about what to eat or not to eat, and where to go, whom to meet or avoid, and where to find things she has lost. 5. Alien checkups. Jim Sparks, ANC-based house developer, has had many contact experiences and at least 2 apparent healings, one of the flu, and another during which the ETs removed black tar from his lungs. Sparks reports that the ETs have often examined him and monitored his health. Beyond this, they have also advised him to adjust his diet. Some of these alien medical exams unfortunately include anal probes, writes Sparks. Yuck. A subject I do not enjoy talking about, writing about, or experiencing. Of course, not everything I write about is comfortable to relive, and in this case I feel it is necessary. I found myself face down on an examination table, in tremendous pain. They had inserted a deep anal probe into me, and I could feel it churning about in my guts. I felt so miserable that I cried out. What the hell are you doing to me? An examination of your system, the alien replied. The pain is awful. You're hurting me. Then I blacked out, continues Spark. When I regained consciousness, I found myself face up on the table, sore inside, but not in pain. Two aliens were present, and it appeared they were just finishing up their procedure. It is necessary that you stop eating animals, one of them said, communicating telepathically. Your system is overloaded with trash. Intelligence dictates that you do not have to kill to survive. Sparks was surprised by their use of their word, trash. After the experience, he found himself in a dilemma. Prior to the encounter, he had been a true carnivore, eating rare steak, hamburgers, meatloaf, pot roasts, pork ribs, roast pork and more. It would take an act of Congress for Jim to stop eating meat, his friends told him. Or an act of aliens, as it turned out. Following the experience, Sparks quit eating red meat, limiting himself to fish and fowl. Precisely 30 days following his alien colonoscopy, the aliens returned and began to conduct another one. They were poking and prodding me, Sparks said, and I hated it. Damn it, he shouted. Why are you doing this again? I stopped eating meat. We know, they said. We had to make sure it was helping you, and it is. Again, Sparks was sore afterward, but years later, his diet still remains largely vegetarian. I have met many fellow abductees, says Spark. The bulk of them are vegetarians. I find that odd, don't you? 6. Reptilian health upgrade. Ever since he was a child, Daryl, pseudonym, experienced weird lights and apparitions in his home in Ohio. Around age 18, says Daryl, it started turning into physical abductions at night, and randomly seeing craft periodically. This carried on all throughout my life until the age of 32. At the age of 32, it turned into something completely different. It happened suddenly in the beginning of 2016. Daryl began to see orbs of light around him, and sensed an undefinable energy. It's an energy that I do not completely understand, he says. It's part of me and incomparable to anything I've ever seen. It changes color and can move through solid objects. It reacts intelligently. The energy is inside me and outside of me at the same time. It never leaves me or stops existing. The energy regenerates my body and mind. It heals me, and can heal others. Daryl's transformation took place over a period of months, during which he became changed by the energy. At one point during the transformation, he says, there was an etheric injection in my arm. I felt a spark jump, and it shocked me. Now my eyes glow different, and I feel like I have more energy and soul than I did before. There's a lot of energy work going on with my chakras while lying in bed at night. During Daryl's transformation, ETs began to communicate with him and he learned the causes for his lifelong history of unusual events. The race of aliens. I'm in contact with other reptilians, says Daryl. Using holographic images to communicate, the reptilians told him that they evolved from velociraptors, and that there is some kind of war going on within. their society. They said that Daryl was a reptilian-human hybrid. There were many hybrids, they said, but most weren't evolved enough mentally, physically or spiritually, or they were brainwashed by religion and fearful of reptilians, and that many had been killed. As of now, says Daryl, there's only a handful of awakened, empowered hybrids. So, there it is. I'm in direct contact with reptilians. They exist, and we've formed a bond. They're really good to me. They guide, protect and upgrade me. I wouldn't be alive without them. They've saved my life multiple times. I trust them more than I do most humans. Daryl says he now has the ability to recognize the reptilians who walk in disguise among the human population. I can always tell when it's one of them, says Daryl, because the women are always perfect, with a glow to them, and stars in their eyes. The reptilians, says Daryl, mingle among the population for days or months at a time. They are extremely powerful mentally and technologically, and live largely undetected on our planet. I stand by this, firmly. I've spent almost 33 years of my life spinning in their web. 7 Reptilian Medical Advice. Late in the evening of November the 12th, 2008, Lisa, pseudonym, a resident of New York State, prepared for bed. It had been a good day at work, and she had no reason to expect anything unusual. However, no sooner did she climb into bed when she felt as if she had been struck by a mysterious whirlwind. She found herself standing alongside a highway, with a house to her right and a tree in front of her. Despite the darkness, the area around her was bathed in light. She looked up and saw a bright glowing object with blue, red and yellow lights hovering silently overhead. Her heart pounded in shock. Looking to the right, she saw a male figure, a hybrid reptilian being. He looked half human, half lizard. Speaking telepathically, he said, "Someone wants to meet you." Lisa found herself walking with the hybrid toward a red van. Above them, the UFO followed. Inside the van was another hybrid. The first reptilian said, "This is Jaso." The being looked at Lisa and said, "If you love nature so much, why are you destroying it?" The next thing Lisa remembers, she was back in bed and the experience was over. A few months later, in 2009, Lisa was preparing for bed when she felt a strong telepathic link up. She knew instantly it was Jaso. "Where are you?" she asked. "In a craft, nearby," he replied, and told her that he came back to finish what he had tried to tell her earlier, but was unable to do so because of her fear of him. Jaso proceeded to provide Sarah with about a dozen spiritual aphorisms. He said that his race loves God, and that she should love God with all the might of her soul. God is evolution, he told her, and that he creates all things, and there is no such thing as sin. He said that humans are the descendants of another ET race, and that Jaso's race is envious because humans are more numerous than his race. He said over-harvesting of our crops is destroying them and depleting our planet. He told her that although his race comes in peace, others may not. He also claimed that his race contacted the Jewish people in ancient Egypt, and taught them. Finally, he had advice about caring for the human body, including the importance of bowel movements and that all disease is created in the mind, thought of in the mind, and the cure is in the mind. "This was the last I heard of him," says Lisa. "After our last encounter, I woke up one evening to a large, luminescent orb overlooking my bed. It was a little bigger than a basketball. It hovered, a bright light, then in an instant, it shot left, out of the window. It was closed. Eight alien health advice in case after case, the ETs seemed to show. Concern about human health. Cindy, a California-based abductee whose encounters were researched by Barbara Lamb, has had contact with multiple types of ETs who have given her much information. They told her that the planet is moving into a higher dimensional vibration and that there would be many future natural disasters. At some point, they said, large numbers of people would be removed from the planet for their own safety. They told her that the human race was genetically engineered, and that they are interested in our ability to experience emotions. They also gave her medical advice. Writes Lamb, regarding human health, the ETs said that certain memories could promote disease, but deep muscle therapy could release those memories and thus prevent loss of health. 9 upgraded. Martin, pseudonym, has a form of autism called Asperger's syndrome. He grew up in South Dakota and as a result of his condition, was given heavy cocktails of prescription drugs. By age 16, he was still under 5 feet tall, suffering from depression, and in a drug haze. Believing the drugs were stunting his growth, he decided to go cold turkey, and he took himself off the Ritalin, the Paxil, the Abilify and the Zoloft. That year, he grew to 6 feet 2 inches in height, and gained 120 pounds. His Asperger symptoms and depression became much more manageable and hardly noticeable. There were other beneficial effects. My creative levels jumped through the roof. I was suddenly able to draw, paint, work with ceramic. I could look at patterns and discern things that nobody else could see was there. My intelligence level jumped from near genius to well above. What happened to cause this sudden boost? Martin wonders if it was more than just getting off prescription drugs. The reason was, Martin thinks, a secret that he's kept from almost everyone. I have had close encounters of the fourth kind, for many years, several times a year. For nearly as long as I can remember, the first instance being at the age of 4, I will have a visit from what I refer to as a gentleman, 3 to 5 times a year, every 3 months or so, sometimes with an extra one thrown in. I wake up in the middle of the night in a panic for no apparent reason, very similar to what some might call night terrors, instantly, fully awake. Terrified, panicking, unable to move. The only thing I can control are my eyes and my breathing. And near me, maybe 2 or 3 feet away, is a small grey. Martin describes the gentleman in familiar terms: small, smooth grey skin, almond-shaped, jet black eyes, tiny nostrils, thin-lipped mouthed, usually hairless. They scare the daylight out of me. He has no memories of being poked, prodded, anally probed or implanted. The figure just stands there and observes him. He is older, I can tell that much, how, I'm not sure. He doesn't do much. He observes me, passes a hand over me now and then, but he never touches. He doesn't poke or prod or anything of the sort. He simply observes. And occasionally he will wave a hand about in the air, almost as though touching a computer screen. My waking state goes from petrification to irritation. There is no threat except for the fact that I am restricted. Martin has tried to send the being thoughts. When he does, the being usually stops and stares, cocks his head to the side and makes another note. Martin isn't sure if the being understands him, but occasionally, Martin picks up images and snippets of the alien's thoughts and emotions. He believes the ET has no desire for world domination, and is merely curious. I personally think that they may have injected nothing more than a few cells into my body that they take readings, and they can read when they are in close proximity to me. It would certainly explain why they run their hands through the air above me, reading something magnetic perhaps. When they first appeared at age 4, there were multiple grays. After that, it was always just one. It would appear once or twice a year. However, at age 16, when he took himself off the prescription drugs, the visitations increased to 3, 4 or 5 times a year. Usually, the gray would remain for a half hour, maybe an hour. Now, when it arrived, it stayed for 3 or 4 hours at a time. It was then that Martin began to notice that there were some very unusual things about him physiologically. First, he has 2 unexplained scars on his abdomen, which have been there as long as he can remember. Even more strange, however, is his unusually hardy physical constitution. I have never broken a bone in a serious way, even though I have been in a serious accident my knuckles a few times in a fight, and my kneecap in what should have been a fatal 90 miles per hour accident while not wearing a seat belt. My wounds heal at a rate about twice as fast as predicted by professionals. I hardly ever get sick. Family members around me will be sick for 3 weeks at a time, while I will be sick for 2 to 3 days with the same symptoms. Are the ETs responsible for what he calls his medical oddities? Martin believes they might be. I'm convinced there's a connection between the increase in visits and length and my unusual physiology, that for some reason or another, they took an interest in keeping me alive for observation. Martin isn't sure why he was chosen to be studied by extraterrestrials, but he has his theories. Perhaps they are interested in autistic individuals, perhaps Asperger's individuals specifically. I've always been a little off, a little different. I just wish they'd talk to me instead of restraining me. I hope one day that my curiosity to converse with them will overpower the fear I have while they are in my presence. On February the 25th, 2015, Martin's wish came true. He was dozing in bed when he became fully awake, suddenly consumed with a petrifying fear of an approaching presence. His bedroom door opened, and in walked a gray-type ET unlike any he had seen before. He was tall, Martin explains, above 8 feet. He had to stoop to avoid hitting the ceiling with his head. His body was thin, very thin. His face was comparable to the beings which I have seen before, but it was ancient beyond anything I can describe, withered and hard, but with an emotion I can only describe as softness in the corner of his massive black eyes. A long telepathic conversation followed. The being said his name was Prowl, pronounced Prowl, and that he was pleased to meet Martin. Says Martin, I, in a moment of incredulity, extended my hand and he shook it with his. It felt strange, wooden in texture, but warm and soft. It enveloped my entire hand, and he held it for a moment before telling me it brought him joy to experience friendship with someone he had studied closely for so many years. Strange images filled Martin's mind. Flashes of colors, scenes from distant worlds. I can't describe in any way other than fantastical, soaring skyscrapers, flashes of movement, bizarre creatures with too many eyes and limbs that moved like fluid, glass domes and red and gold skies over green oceans. Further conversations followed. He apologized for the many years of fright and assured me there was no reason to be afraid. He told me there was a purpose behind their visits, and the visits of millions of other people around the world have, but are completely unaware of. What is the purpose of their visits? According to Martin, they harvest memories. They observe our world, our culture and our society through our eyes. In harvesting this information, they have been able to greatly advance their own culture. His explanation was that humanity and humans as individuals are vastly more creative than their own. They are a logical people, and as such, have limitations. Humans, he said, are basically insane, and as a result, think so far out of the box that we end up inventing things far beyond our time. And we are so diverse that we devote massive amounts of time to thousands of projects. They seek out unique individuals, those with genius intellect. Intellect, the mentally unstable but still functional, the creative thinkers, and they observe their minds for the spark of motivation. They take our mundane, day-to-day ideas and they create each and every one of them. If you are one of their subjects, every crappy daydream invention you've come up with, they have made it, utilized it, improved it, tested it, and incorporated it into their lives. The being told Martin that he was surprised that Martin was able to consciously recall the visitations, and that the vast majority of people they visit have no memory of it, not because of them, but because of the human mind's tendency to repress memories. The ETs have no hand in making us forget, says Martin. Our mind does not want to remember, so it does not. My accurate memories of visits and contemplation of them makes me very unique in their books, it would seem. He told Martin many other things, that the human race is unique in how it has technologically progressed so quickly, that many other races fear our aggression, which is delaying the progress of our society, that their civilization is nearly 20,000 years old and that we may be related to their ancestors, that they implant humans with a biological type implant which records all the information they need from us and much more. Says Martin, that's my crazy tale. Think of it what you will. 10 Rapid healing. A common comment among those who have contact is that they heal more rapidly than the average human. The following case is a good example. One dusky summer evening around 1969, 9-year-old Reuben, pseudonym of Stephesville, Texas, went outside to take out the garbage. He walked through the backyard toward the fence where the trash can stood when he saw a 10-foot-wide circle of light shining on the ground. I looked up, he said, and all I could see was the light. It was bright, but it didn't hurt my eyes. It lasted about 15-20 seconds, not long. The light was bluish, and betrayed no visible structure. After it switched off, Reuben emptied the can and returned inside. Reuben didn't think much of it, and fearing that people would call him loony, he told nobody. In the months following the incident, Reuben noticed something strange. They had a lawn of street Augustine grass which would die out each winter. However, that winter, exactly where the circle of light had shone on the ground, the grass grew green and lush. It was annoying because Reuben was forced to mow the spot on a weekly basis. Many years later, he got married and told his wife about the incident. She said that she believed him. Then, in 2008, the small town of Stephesville was hit by a sizable UFO wave which garnered international media attention. Reuben's wife urged him to report his sighting officially, which Reuben did. Says Reuben, she also thinks now that because of the incident, I heal faster than just about anybody I know. 11 Cleansing. According to researcher Fabio Picasso, in March of 1969, engineer Alberto Zecua had his second encounter with ETs. His first encounter had occurred 1 year earlier in Tulisigo, Mexico. He and others were out camping when they came upon a craft hovering just above the ground. They saw three tall human-looking figures. figures with fine features and exotic eyes. The beings collected plants and took off in their craft. Now, in March of 1969, Zecua was woken up in his home in Mexico City to see the same figures he had seen a year earlier. They wore strange metal bracelets and had glowing boxes strapped around their waists. Using telepathy, they told him not to be afraid, that they were there to help him. They used a box-like instrument to levitate Zecua above his bed. The beings surrounded his bed and Zecua became numb and heard a humming sound. He floated back down and smelled a strong odor similar to menthol. The beings told him that they had performed an internal cleansing of his body, and then vanished. 12 Area 51 employees upgraded. In 2004, Fate magazine conducted an experiment in which they asked their readers to psychically view Area 51 in Nevada and see what they could find out about the inner workings of the base. The results were surprising. The respondents' reports, all women, agreed on many details. They reported seeing research into UFOs and reverse engineering, experiments with genetics, research into germ warfare, gray-type ETs working along with humans and more. Important here is that several of the respondents reported that employees of the base had their health boosted by the ETs. Carol Gowley of Lansing, Michigan felt that the employees had been genetically enhanced. Kathleen Nelson of Island Pond, Vermont sensed that some of the higher-level employees of the base had been genetically altered and enhanced using alien technology. Teresa Buck of Carson City, Nevada saw that innocent citizens were being abducted and taken to the base for medical and hybridization experiments. She says that some of the employees of the base who work in close cooperation with the aliens have been given alien technology to help them live a longer life. Says Buck, they have been mated with robotic parts that perform vital functions, until these people are nearly immortal. She says that there have been many hybridization and genetic experiments to make people adaptable to other planets. 13 As can be seen, these witnesses aren't reporting healings of specific illnesses. Instead, they feel that they have been made stronger, faster, smarter, better able to heal from injuries and illnesses, and even live longer, all due to a UFO encounter. These types of cases show that ETs are not only healing people, they are practicing preventative medicine and are closely monitoring humans and maintaining their health in ways we are only beginning to understand. Chapter 25, Even the animals. In two previous cases in this book, witnesses who were healed also reported that their dogs were healed. One witness, Joy Davies, who suffered from arthritis, reported that her dog was also more active. And another gentleman whose condition of diabetes and arthritis was improved, also reported a corresponding enhancement in his dog. The two above cases are unusual, but they are not unique. There is now a small but growing number of cases in which animals have received UFO healings. Case #026. Roosters. One summer afternoon in 1959, in Placeto, Texas, 13-year-old Susan Ivarez Morton went to attend a cockfight with her sister, her brother-in-law and their family. The entire group drove to a secret location and joined a huge crowd of people on wooden bleachers. In the center of the crowd, two roosters began to fight a battle which Susan knew would be to the death. The two roosters were fiercely fighting. When suddenly the attention of the crowd was caught by a large, glowing object which was hovering over the area. Without warning, the object emitted two beams of light. Ivarez described the object as an enormous red globe with two shafts of white light inching down toward us. Everyone watched in amazement as the beams targeted the two roosters, who were now lying on the ground, nearly dead from their injuries. Then something amazing happened. Their small broken bodies glowed eerily for a few seconds, said Ivarez. Then slowly, they both got up on their little chicken feet and began strutting around with robust enthusiasm. The crowd became extremely agitated, until, after a few moments, the beams of light retracted inside the object, which now changed from red to orange and streaked away at high speed. The two roosters showed no trace of their former injuries, but the cockfight was cancelled. One roosters are not the only animals being healed. In the below encounter, a man claims that his horse was healed. Case #033. Horse. On November the 12th, 1960, Ivor Sercombe, who owned a farm near Devizes in England, heard a voice in his head telling him to check his horse, Daffodil. Daffodil was suffering from an illness in her hooves. Sercombe went outside to his stables. Inside, he saw a golden glow. Standing beside Daffodil was a 6-foot figure wearing a sports jacket. The figure spoke telepathically, saying that he was a vet and would cure the horse. He held up a machine which looked semi-solid, semi-transparent. It reminded Sercombe of a dental X-ray device. It had a central column with two arms projecting on either side, at the end of which were metallic spheres. The being moved the instrument along the mare's forelegs, focusing on the hooves. Sercombe saw blue-purple sparks and felt a powerful electric force. The treatment continued for 15 minutes, at which point the strange visitor gradually disappeared. Sercombe was about to check on his horse when he heard a voice say, "Leave the horse alone, there is nothing you can do." Sercombe returned into his home. His horse reportedly experienced a full recovery. 2. When it comes to animal healings, roosters and horses are the exception. All the other cases involve dogs. About 90 million dogs live as pets in the United States. Despite this, there are only a few reported healings. Case #056. Dog. Throughout his life, Danny Ederso of Mount Kira, New South Wales, Australia had many strange and unusual experiences. One evening in 1971, while lying in bed, a whirling red light appeared in his bedroom and he found himself being pulled upward into a large room with flashing lights and strange instrument panels. A 7-foot-tall humanoid in a green suit instructed Ederso to sit in a weird chair. The humanoid placed his hand over Ederso's eyes, causing pain. "Before long though," said Ederso, "the pain gave way to a beautiful, peaceful feeling and I knew I never wanted to leave that place. A moment later I was back in bed." Back at home, Ederso discovered his sense of hearing and touch were now both ultra-sensitive. His face was red and swollen and two hieroglyphic-like marks appeared on his chest. Following this, Ederso experienced repeated visits with insectoid beings, Bigfoot-like beings and more. One afternoon, Ederso was watering the plants in his garden when he saw a mantis-type creature exit Sam's dog shed and disappear behind it. Sam was Ederso's pet dog. He was old and crippled with arthritis, and would yelp with pain if anybody petted him. Ederso was planning on having old Sam put to sleep. Ederso rushed into the shed to check on Sam. The dog was not only fine, he was healed. His coat was suddenly glossy and his eyes were brighter than they'd been for years. From that day, the arthritis never troubled Sam. There was no sign of the mantis being. Ederso feels humbled to be connected to these beings who he says are full of love and peace. Three of all the animal healings, this next case is the perhaps the most compelling. There are multiple witnesses and medical records verifying the medical condition before and after the healing. One of the witnesses was so transformed by the incident that he has now become a prominent figure on the front lines of UFO research. Case #264. Dog.